Akin is the Monsters of the Midday, spreading all across the great country. Dusty DeVorsett with you here in Chi-Town. Mark Rogers and the Missile are back in studio. And welcome to the show from the great city of Salt Lake, the one, the only, Mr. Royce Young. Royce, how you doing?
I am doing terrific today, Dusty.
How is the fine place that you are staying currently treating you? Is it wonderful?
Yeah, I would say wonderful. I'm in my standard Marriott across the street from the arena. Feels great.
No, but the Salt Lake City in general.
Oh, yeah, Salt Lake City. Big fan. Good weather. I told you, man. I can run down the list again. It's a top five or six NBA city. It's a great place.
Let me ask this now with the rise of Rudy Gobert and now Donovan Mitchell, are you like, you're not out there like, you know, thinking about what might be in other cities, are you? Are you like actively shopping like a free agent here? What's going on?
Yeah, you know, let's just say that maybe I'm trying to get to know Donovan Mitchell a little bit better. You know, but I'm just out here doing my job. You know, I can't say that I'm like Kevin Durant at the Super Bowl or anything here. I wouldn't say I'm being recruited while under contract elsewhere. I wouldn't say that.
Hey, what is Utah going to do with all that money that they have this offseason and free agency? Why don't you find something out about that? Because we need to know.
You know who would make a lot of sense for Utah?
Yes.
Yeah, we do. Paul George.
Wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't that be a twist of fate, Mark? It happened with Durant. The Warriors beat the Thunder, and Durant goes there. The Jazz beat that would be something.
That would be a legitimate – I mean, I'm just saying, that is a difficult team to deal with if Donovan Mitchell continues on the growth pattern that it looks like he is. You know, I mean, if he came back next year and kind of had a sophomore slump or something, well, that's not nearly as attractive. But this guy we've seen the latter half of the season and here in this postseason, that's, you know, him, Gobert, and Paul George, that's a pretty potent threesome.
Yeah, I mean, an excellent coach in Quinn Snyder, really solid front office. I mean, the Jazz are a very stable, solid organization. Really kind of mirror the Thunder in a lot of different ways. You know, that's one of the things about it, Dusty, is that, like, there was so much made, and I think a lot of it was because of Russell Westbrook's star power and the narrative of Durant leaving and Russell staying. But there was so much made for the Thunder's bounce-back season after losing Kevin Durant. And granted, Kevin Durant is on another stratosphere than Gordon Hayward, but this has been an incredible year for the Jazz in year one post-Gordon Hayward. I mean, they built for 5 or 6 years to get to where they were at last year, to have a team that wins the division and gets through the first round of the playoffs. And it really looks like they're kind of building something formidable, and then Gordon Hayward leaves them, and it felt like the Jazz were about to take a significant step back. I mean, that's what everybody expected in the NBA this year. They thought, you know, this team could be kind of solid, but, like, not necessarily that good. And then they trade Rodney Hood, and it looked like the Jazz were basically saying, like, look. And the way they started the season, too, the Jazz did not start well. But since Gobert has come back from injury, and then, like you said, Dusty, Donovan Mitchell, his ascension here into stardom, this has been an incredible story.
What's the key for them in the game tonight? I don't think Houston's going to continually shoot as bad as they have that they did in game two. 27%.
Yeah, you know, and game two was weird to me, Mark. You know, it's just it felt like, you know, obviously the Jazz came out playing extremely well, and the Rockets kind of made the comeback that everybody expected. When Houston took the lead in the third quarter, it felt like the game was over, even though it was like a 1-point game. And I don't know really what happened to the Rockets there. You know, a lot of the things that they did offensively, they just kind of got away from. I think you saw a team that pressed a little bit, and I think Harden specifically was a little guilty of that. That, you know, the game was getting a little bit away from them. They weren't scoring so effortlessly. Guys weren't knocking down shots, and I think that they got a little bit away from their identity. And that's what happens to you in the postseason. That's why you know, something that you do so well. You know, it's one thing, we're not making shots in February. What's the big deal? We move on. You know, you move to the next city and it's over with. Who cares? We're the best team in the NBA. In the playoffs, you feel that, like, pressure of, like, and that, you know, that's why you see guys like Westbrook go out and shoot 43 times, is sometimes that can overwhelm you a little bit. But I think that, for one, I think Chris Paul's got to play better. I don't think he played very well at all in game two. The foul trouble was an issue. You know, James Harden had a couple, you know, he draws some iffy fouls on people, but he had some iffy calls made on him. So, you know, but I, look, I've been in this building that's across the street from me for three playoff games, and it is going to be noisy, and the Rockets better be ready to play.
I wanted to ask you about that because, you know, Matt Pinto was on today filling in for Craig.
Go ahead, Dusty. We do have a delay issue here, clearly. Anyway, all right, Royce. All right. The other game tonight, Pelicans and Warriors. Sure. I know you're not covering that one, but I think when the Warriors are ready just to turn it on, that's enough of a switch to flip to beat the Pelicans. So I think that series is going to be a sweep. You think the Pelicans can get on the board tonight?
Part of me thinks I want to give the Pelicans one game, Mark, just because, for one, Anthony Davis is that good. And then two, I just kind of think the Warriors are a little bit susceptible to kind of mailing one in a little bit, even though this is the postseason. But look, the Warriors are clearly that, you know, all this talk of, oh, they finished the season, you know, what did they finish the season? 7-10, got blown out a few times. It was like, oh man, can the Warriors, here, I put it this way, with kind of the hand wringing that was going on with the Warriors, here's how desperate people are to try to find some sort of, you know, vulnerability in the Golden State Warriors. Is I actually heard people saying things like, I don't know, Steph Curry's coming back. What if that messes up some of the rhythm? No. They're going to be just fine getting Steph Curry back, and I think you saw that exact thing in Game 2. Which, Steph Curry even willing to come off the bench. Carmelo Anthony not. Steph Curry willing to come off the bench in one game. So I thought that was interesting.
Dusty?
Okay, can you hear me?
All right, there we go.
Yep.
Oh, yes. Okay, great. Sorry about that, guys. What I was going to ask you is, I was saying that Pinto was on earlier for Craig, and he was talking about the Utah fans, and like to the point, like not just loud, but he felt they were very offensive, abrasive. He was not a fan whatsoever. Now, I've been around a lot of different kind of fans. I mean, did you feel that? I mean, are these Utah fans, are they going over the line and not just being a rowdy, hostile place to play, but getting more personal and offensive?
You know, I heard some different Thunder staffers mention that type of stuff. I've heard some of them talk about it. I didn't notice or see anything to that degree whatsoever. I will say, in talking to players that have played for the Thunder, that there is one fan base, and this is former players, that was consistently referenced as hostile and derogatory, and that was Utah Jazz. And it was something. It was a complaint of some multiple times, and I don't think that this is completely fabricated. I don't think that this idea that Jazz fans are a little bit maybe cross the line is completely made up. Now, I think, like you said, Dusty, I think you're going to walk into any arena, whether that's, I mean, Philadelphia had a guy stand up and flip Russell Westbrook the double birds on the baseline. So I mean, like, you walk into any arena.
I was in Stillwater in 2002, and they were giving us the business. There weren't people up there with those stands right on top of you. They weren't just whispering sweet, innocent things to me. I mean, it was brutal. Yeah. It was abrasive. But there's an element of that's just part of sports, man. Like, right. I don't know. So I just wanted to get your perspective.
They can cross the line.
You can cross the line. Yeah, you can cross the line. But at the same time, this is what fans do, right?
Exactly. And I think it's probably similar somewhat to Stillwater, Dusty, is because if you walk into this arena – it is the seats are very close to the court, especially on the baselines. It's like strangely close, and it kind of goes up at an incline. So I kind of wonder if it's just maybe a like an acoustics issue here. If the people can hear what fans are saying a lot better because of the way that the setup is, more so than some other arena.
If I lived in Salt Lake, I'd be pissed off too. I'm sorry. I let the opposing team have it. Unlike Royce, who's just in he's in utopic bliss while he's there. What do you think? The East has been very – look, LeBron, the efficiency at which LeBron is destroying the Raptors is comical. I mean, like, we cannot talk about DeRozan and Lowry as superstars in this league anymore, no matter what they – I don't care if they go 82-0 next year. It will have no relevance to me until they do something in the playoffs when the games matter.
Yeah. I mean, I think that game one, Mark, where they missed seven tips or whatever, you know,
they did. The Valanciunas. Yes.
Yeah, the Valanciunas game. I think that basically just sucked the soul right out of them. I think that they felt it just, and to me, it illustrates exactly what you're saying. I think the Raptors are about as mentally fragile as you can get. And they, You know, guys that are known for being playoff-tested, tough guys that you want battling with you, they go up to Toronto and they lose that. Serge Ibaka is one of the most playoff-tested, tough guys that you could want. That guy has been in some battles. And
Serge Ibaka, 47 years old. I'm just telling you. That man is past his prime. I'm sorry.
Anyways, veteran experience then, Dusty. That guy, he shrunk up. I mean, so, look,
I wouldn't use that term with Serge, but
he doesn't do much shrinking. That's true. Fair enough. Look, LeBron, like last night, Mark, LeBron was just out there just practicing fadeaways on him. I mean, it was like he was just completely clowning the Raptors. And, I kind of think the Raptors are going to get a game in this series. I don't think this is going to be just a straight sweep. I think that they're probably going to dig in and try to, you know, just somewhat not go out with complete humiliation, but... I feel like we spent a lot of the season, Mark, talking like, you know, when we'd be in January, February, March, it was like, man, what's up with the Cavs? And everyone was kind of like, you'd want to push the panic button on the Cavs and say, I think that they actually do have problems. I think this is, and then we'd always come back, but if they got LeBron, I mean, see, and this is why, because LeBron James is that unbelievable.
It's crazy. It's got to slow down at some point. I mean, I thought about this. I think about this all the time now, because now I've watched Melo for a full season firsthand, mm-hmm. not just every few games, and I see what 15 years has done to him. I watched Dwayne Wade, and I see what 15 years has done to him, and I watched LeBron James, and what's crazy is the guy is still – I don't even know if he's on – I mean, he's still going up. Like, we're still seeing better and better, and he's in that 15th year. So I really think that speaks to, I mean, A, his greatness, and B, just – how he's been able to take care of his body to be able to stay and play at the level he has is crazy.
You know how, like, in golf, Dusty, like, as people get older, like, they always say that, like, you know, when you start getting older, your short game gets a lot better, you start making more putts, and you start chipping better because you lose the other stuff, so you start focusing in on, like, the short game. And, like, I feel like in basketball, it's kind of like that's how it is in shooting. Like, you start losing some of your explosiveness and athleticism, so you start getting better at the shooting. LeBron's getting better at the shooting. The short game is getting better. But, like, he's still got all the other stuff, too. So, like, it's just he is aging like fine wine. That's what everybody keeps saying. And here's the other thing. You mentioned Carmelo Anthony. Do you know who else is the same age as LeBron James? Kendrick Perkins. That just blows my mind in every way.
That is. That,
Perk does have some miles on those tires.
Hey, what's the word on the street? Because he's still the best player in the NBA, and he will be next year again, too, but – what are your people saying? Where's LeBron going to end up? We talk so much about Paul George, but the number one domino in this entire free agency frenzy that'll start is LeBron James. So what are people saying?
The way you set that up, I thought you were going to ask me something about Joe Ingles, the best player in the NBA.
Is he a free agent?
I think he just signed, actually. I think he signed up with the Jazz long term. You know, here's the thing with LeBron, that there's going to be a lot of talk, and you know, once the Cavs go out, wherever that happens to be, whether, you know, if they win the championship, I think LeBron's coming back. You know, I don't think he's going to leave a title team in Cleveland. But what if they happen to go out before winning a championship? There's going to be a lot of teams pop up. You know, you're going to have the Philly thing. You got supposedly the Knicks have hired David Fizdale because they want to take a shot at LeBron. Everybody's going to kind of think they've got a chance. I still believe that Cleveland is the leader in the clubhouse, and I think you're kind of seeing it right now. And that LeBron, I think he came back to Cleveland because he wanted to, like, finish his career there. I think that's what he kind of wanted to do, and that's the vision that he had. I think he won that title a little faster than he anticipated. You know, I think that he probably thought it was going to be a little bit more of a grind to get to it, and then he got it, and I think that kind of has opened the door for him to be able to leave. You know, I don't think he would have been leaving Cleveland had he not won the title. I don't think that would even be a consideration, because I think that he would view this as unfinished business, and that's what he came back to do. Now that he's got this title, I think he kind of feels like, I could look at L.A., I could look at this place, I could look at that place. But when it relates to Paul George, you know, and everybody talks about it, LeBron does hold the cards in a lot of different ways, I think, with Paul, because they have a very strong relationship. It would not shock me if those two guys have already been talking to each other a little bit. So, you know, I think that, you know, when it comes down to what does Paul George do, I think LeBron is going to be the first domino to fall, and then you'll see what happened with Paul after that.
Hey, Joe Ingles is signed through 2021 in Utah. Is Ricky Rubio going to play tonight?
I don't think so, but I mean, he's getting closer. I think they need him. I think they definitely need him. Look, Donovan Mitchell was fantastic in game two, despite shooting 6 of 21. I mean, that's kind of just how good he was in the game in other areas. And that tip dunk was absolutely just insane. But I think that you did see a little bit of the burden of putting all the creative responsibility on Donovan Mitchell take shape in other areas. They need that guy to score. They need him to be able to take over games at different points. And so, you know, if you put that whole offensive responsibility on him, Mark, I think you see kind of where that can wear him down. So they need Rubio back at some point.
Great stuff, Royce. Enjoy Salt Lake City. We'll talk to you next week, man.
All right. See y'all.